Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're starting Chapter 6, Into Action. We're on page 72, reading and commenting on the first full paragraph. Today's readers are Valerie B. for the 12 Steps, Susan R. for the 12 Traditions, John K., Marie J., and Terry H. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting for yesterday, Tuesday, June 12th at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 11,526. That's 11526. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, June 13th, is 11527. That's 11,527. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer, our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Valerie B. to please read the 12 steps. Star 1 to unmute, please, Valerie.
Hello, this is Valerie B., recovering compulsive overeater from Maryland. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to all, to alcoholics, and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Valerie B., and I have found meditation is medication. Susan, I will now ask Susan R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Yes, hi, good morning. This is Susan R., recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 traditions, 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share and be of service.
Thank you, Susan R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in Chapter 6, Into Action, on page 72, and we're reading and commenting on the first paragraph. And I will now ask John Kay to please begin reading.
Thanks, Elaine. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Chapter 6, Into Action. Having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We have been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our path. We admitted certain defects. We have ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. We have put our finger on the weak items in our personal inventory. Now these are about to be cast out. This requires action on our part, which, when completed, will mean that we have admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. This brings us to the fifth step in our program of recovery mentioned in the preceding chapter. Well, you know, I think the important word in this chapter is action. You know, I always tell the story of my gruff old sponsor from my first program years and years ago when I first came in and I was going on about something intellectual. And he stopped. He said, John, the chapter's called Into Action, not Into Thinking. And he was so right. Action is the key here. I think, you know, there's never any doubt left by the people who wrote this book that if we just, you know, we're just not supposed to sit here and get spiritual, that some genie of the 12 steps will appear and give us recovery. You know, as a good friend I know always says, this isn't a program for those who want it. It's not even a program for those who need it. It's a program for those who do it. And, you know, as we start this fifth step, the word action is so important because I think we get to see the concept of a higher power in action. To me, a 12-step version, the 12-step version of higher power to me is really grounded out in reality. You know, the important words in this step, God, myself, and another human being, you know, because I have a disease that resides in my mind, which is, you know, it's the center of my decision-making process. You know, as a result, contact with another recovered person is vital to my ongoing recovery because, you know, no matter how good my intentions, my disease can take everything good that this program teaches me and use it against me. And I can attest to that because I was in the middle of a hellacious relapse when I was 14 years in program. I'm not talking about occasionally coming. I'm 3 to 5 meetings a week, and I'm in this horrible relapse. And there were times when I was using perfectly good program slogans to justify my eating. You know, I mean, you talk about insanity. But that's why I need the higher power that resides inside those other human beings in program, my sponsor, my God squad, all of you, to keep me on track. You know, why? Because that disease that resides in my mind can hijack my search for a higher power at any time. You know, I've often joked, I said, you know, I can get as spiritual as I want, go up to a mountaintop and meditate and come down convinced that chocolate is a vegetable. But you know what? I called my sponsor and I said, God told me chocolate's a vegetable. And my sponsor's going to go, not for today, John, not for today. But you know, that's the problem when you have a disease that's in your mind like I do. It's hard sometimes to distinguish what is the voice of my higher power versus what is the voice of my disease just doing a very good impression of my higher power, you know. And just finally, on the terms of the fifth step, it was magical for me, the first one. First real, you know, in-depth one. I left walking on air. All those horrible, deep, dark secrets that made me the worst person on earth were out in the open, and the sunlight was the greatest disinfectant. In fact, my sponsor, when I was doing mine and telling him these horrible things, he would be like, oh, you think that's bad? Let me tell you what I did. And after a while, I actually got annoyed. I'm like, hey, this isn't, can you top this? But I left and was able to start making eye contact. I hadn't been able to make eye contact with people for a long time because if you looked at me, you'd know what a horrible person I was. And the greatest thing about that fifth step, it was a new beginning. I didn't ever have to act that way again. I never had to rebuild that mountain of guilt and shame that I had built over a lifetime. And as it says in program, you know, this is a new way of living. And with that, I'll stop. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, John Kay. Who would like to comment on this paragraph?
Ginger
Lauren
C.
Kay.
Laura W.
Julie E.B.
Marin K.
Sherry K.B.
Marin. Wendy M.
Okay. Lisa S.
All right. Let's see if I can even read my own chicken scrawl here. Ginger C. Lori didn't get your last initial. Judith K., I believe. Marin K. Wendy M. Lisa F. And if I messed up your name, please correct me as we go. So it's Ginger C., and then I think Lori is right after
that. K.B.
And Sherry KB, thank you. I did get you. Thanks. Okay, great. Ginger C, please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Lori.
Great, Elaine. Thanks so much for your service. Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Just love the fifth step. You know, I'm as sick as my secrets, and I will never forget. I had just put the food down this morning, and I was at this Vision for You conference in Virginia Beach. And one of our speakers that shares a lot on the line, who's a historian, was the speaker that evening. And first to hear his story, like tremendous hope, like if he can get out of the food, so can I. But then in his share, or maybe it was the next day, I heard about these four impediments to God. And I felt like God was speaking directly to me, because that second impediment is a secret you will not tell. And I had a really big secret. And no wonder I kept relapsing in the food and eating over and over and over again. But I heard God speak to me, and I knew it was time to tell that secret. And it was really scary. But I also knew it meant liberation and it meant freedom. Because whatever I'm blocked, however I'm blocked, first and foremost, we're blocked by the food. But then there's lots of other stuff that blocks us. And this fifth step, getting honest with another and with God and sharing that truth, that sets me free. I no longer have to eat over what I'm not telling and what I'm not sharing. So thank God, like someone just mentioned, you know, I can look the world in the eye. I no longer have to hide. And I can be alone at perfect peace and ease. And most importantly, I can go through this thing called life and no longer be eating through it. So thank God for this work that we're so privileged to do a day at a time. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Thursday. Lori, you're up next, and I didn't get your last initial, and you'll be followed by Judith.
Thank you. It's Laura. It's Laura W.
Thank you, Laura.
Hi, everybody. It's Laura W., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, step five, I was terrified of it, almost thinking like if I didn't tell somebody, then maybe it really didn't exist. You know, maybe I really wasn't as horrible a person as I thought I was. It says we've admitted certain defects. We have ascertained, in a rough way. Ascertained means to find out, you know, for certain, to make sure of. And in step four, I made sure of certain things. You know, I was a selfish, resentful, angry, fearful, self-seeking person, because that's what this is about. This is about finding out for sure what is my blockage to God. You know, what's been blocking me? You know, why have I been restricting and starving myself and thinking that I had control over life when in fact I was completely out of control? And you know, step five, it pushes me forward. It pushes me forward. Once I got done with this step, I didn't feel the same way that John felt. I didn't feel free. I didn't feel right away. I felt relieved, but I also felt like a little bit frightened, like, oh my gosh, what's next? You know, what's coming down the pike here in steps eight and nine? But staying in today really kept me focused on that this is about clearing up my messes. It's not about, that's what the fourth column in step four is about. You know, so many times I've only got as far as that third column, pointing the finger at everybody, what's the cause, and never looking at where I was, you know, where I set the ball rolling. But there are conditions here. You know, this requires action on our part. If, and then. So it's there, yes, they're going to be cast out if it requires action on our part. If we do the action, when completed, we're going to admit to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. And you know, I really feel that giving this away to how I did it to my sponsor was, you know, it was so humbling. But to just sit there and speak and not have her, you know, she shook her head, like she nodded her head. And I thought, how could she understand what I'm talking about? Well, because, you know, we're all on the Titanic together. And I'm grateful that I've been living this way in recovery for 13 plus years. And I don't, you know, not only do I not compulsively eat, restrict, or purge through exercise, but like, you know, another fellow on the line says, I don't want to. And that's where the miracle is. That's where that sacred awe is that I seek every day. Thanks for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Laura W. Judith, you're up next. If you could give me the first initial of your last name, that'd be so helpful. And Maren K. will follow you. I thought I heard a Judith. And perhaps our...
This is Julie E.B. Could it have been Julie?
Could have been in the flurry of names in my poor handwriting. Julie, please go ahead.
Okay. Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered by the grace of God in Colorado, one day at a time. I want to talk about a few miraculous words for me in here that we've placed our, we've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator, and to discover the obstacles in our past. It's such a simple breakdown of the things that I could work on through the fourth step. I think this step intimidates a lot of people, and if you're new to the line and struggling to put down your food and thinking that the fourth step is a huge hurdle, or sharing in the fifth step might be a huge hurdle, just, you know, what if I had a different attitude and a new relationship with a higher power and could figure out the obstacles of my past? You know, because these are about to be cast out. That's the promise that's here. And what I love the most is that we had admitted to God, ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our defects. let me tell you about me. As I was close to 300 pounds and in the food, I had 6 medical specialists. I was immobilized in my bed for 4 months at a time. I just figured over time, as I ate more and more, overeating, undereating, trying everything under the sun, that I was the defect. And then to go into the fourth step and figure out, no, I've got some defects. The way that I brainstorm, the way that I spin things around my brain over and over again, or what I call the talk storm, and I talk it up with other people around me and stay in the problem and in my drama over and over again, that I'm running the show, that I'm both analyzing and playing God, and also that I am making other people my gods. These became the exact nature of my defects. So instead of thinking I am the defect, I have some defects with exact natures, and became willing for God to remove them and move into these action steps. And that was the whole difference for me. Now each and every day as I live in 10 and 11 and 12, I have this chance. The exact nature of my defect is that I look to other people, places, and things for God's care and protection and direction and security and connection and a sense of worth instead of looking to God for those things, my higher power who brings those things, who cares for me and protects me and brings me a sense. So I am not the flaw. I have flaws. I am not the mistake. I make mistakes. I am not a defect. I know the exact nature. I shared them and got into action, and I wish that for you.
Gentle
as well.
Reminder.
Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie E.B. And Marin K., you're up next, followed by Wendy M.
Good morning, Marin K. from Los Angeles. Great chapter reading into action, and I love everybody who shared, and thank you, everybody, for your service. I know that when I've been in program 24 years, and I know that over and over again, I read this book and new things pop out to me, and there's always layers of the onion that need to be worked on. I know that I have abstinence from purging and starving myself for 24 years, and I don't eat the way I used to eat. I feel like the inventory was so scary to me. It wasn't scary to me. I set an alarm for 15 minutes every day and wrote it down. And then when I read it to my sponsor, she half fell asleep. And, you know, it's just like getting the secrets out, getting all the feelings I had about myself out. The first time I did it was really just every secret and everything that I felt bad about myself out on paper. Since then, I've done numerous four steps, which are outlined in the big book. But it does make you closer to God when you do these things, any of these actions of getting out a fourth step or a tenth step or whatever you're doing. These get us closer to God because we admit our weakness, and we know that we need another human being to witness that weakness, and we need God. And I've been having a struggle with God, but I don't when I read the big book. I'll tell you, all I have to do is open the big book, and I feel like I have a connection to a higher power. And I was 60 pounds once. I was in and out of hospitals for 8 different years. And it wasn't until I started reading the big book and working with a sponsor and getting outside help that I survived that. And for this, I can tell you that God is great, you know, really. This big book is like when you work these steps, you really, really will get a spiritual awakening. And I'm not finished yet. Believe me, there's much more work to do. But I will tell you, it's been the one thing in my life that has always helped me. So thanks for letting me show.
Thank you, Marin K. Wendy, you're up next.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado, and so grateful for being entirely abstinent this morning. It's a gift from God, and thank you all for being on the line. So Right. First, it requires action, and action always gets me out of my head and into God. And I was saying when we talked about fears a little while back that the way out of my fears, the way out of my head is action. So I appreciate that it's called into action, not into thinking. And you know, this was actually terrifying, right? Because I'm willing to tell someone my secrets for the first time. And, you know, I lived a life of fantasy. I lived a life in my mind. I lived a life where I decided how things were. You know, we look at a measuring cup, and when I measure my unsweetened almond milk every morning, right, that's life on life's terms, right? That's not Wendy's fantasy of a vat of salad, a vat of whatever, right? So this is about, you know, getting right sized. And it meant that I had to trust another human being, and I had to trust God, you know. And the disease, of course, centers in my mind. And so if I'm going to say out loud what's happening, I'm out of my mind, literally, and I'm giving it to another person. I'm giving it to God, and I'm checking it out with other people. That's a huge step, right, from, like, Wendy in her secrets, in her fantasy, living my entire life in my mind. You know, according to my show, and then actually sharing that with people. And, you know, we only know what we know. For example, the first time I did a fourth step 17 years ago, I only knew what I knew, you know. But when I gave my fourth step away, I don't know, a year ago, whatever it's been, you know, I know more because I'm willing to be more honest. And, you know, honesty to me is a spiritual experience. If I'm going to tell my secret to my sponsor or whoever, that is a huge release. That is a huge surrender. I'm letting go. Like, how honest do I want to be? Well, I want to be pretty free. So I want to be pretty darn, you know, honest. And, for example, when I shared my secrets about what I used to do with my three-year-old son in the car when I would scream and yell at him, I was just, like, just weeping with my sponsor. It was so freeing to tell her. And she didn't ridicule me. She didn't judge me. She just listened. She just accepted, you know, because your story is my story and my story really is your story too. But it sets me free. That's kind of the point here, you know, because my voice, you know, my head is in my voice and my voice sounds right all the time. So I need to pick up the phone and call you guys and tell you my secrets. I need to tell you every day. I need to get honest all the time because the dishonesty keeps me in bondage to myself. And it keeps me away from God for sure and away from you. So if I can tell you my secrets on a daily basis, oh, my God, that is the most freeing experience. And knowing that I'm going to be okay and you're going to be okay hearing it. So thanks for letting me share it. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Wendy M. Lisa F., you're up next, followed by Sherry KB.
Hi, I'm Lisa S. from a little town called Scappoose in Oregon. Gosh, I just so appreciated everybody's shares. I thought I knew what I wanted to say, and I was so many things started a thought process for me. And one of them was the idea that I suffer from isolationism, from, you know, wanting to be by myself. And listening to everybody share, I realized, you know, that came from all the secrets I was keeping, because I was always too afraid to show anybody who I really was. So I had to be, I don't know, I had to put on a certain presentation, and, you know, that's just impossible to keep up. And when I did my first fourth step, it took me a very long time to do the fifth step because I kept thinking I hadn't done the fourth step perfectly enough. And I was very grateful to have a sponsor who basically set a date with me and said, wherever you're at, you are done, because you're never going to do it perfectly enough for you. And that says a lot about my, you know, apparently one of my character defects is perfectionism. And then when I finally did share, the other thing was I suffered from that idea of the piece of garbage the universe revolves around. I was the worst human being ever. And getting it out, first of all, it helped me get rid of that secrecy. And someone actually started knowing the inner me. Because my brain and I have wonderful conversations, but the hardest part of this disease is I can't trust my own mind. There's a disconnect. And so when I shared all this stuff, one of the things that came to me was, first of all, I got rid of the guilt and the shame. And for me, a lot of it was embarrassment. That was really helpful to have another person hear that and know the higher power was in the room and hearing it as well. And then to kind of have my ego deflated a bit by the fact that I hadn't said anything all that extraordinary. I had a sponsor with her fifth steps, who had given fifth steps, and nothing terribly shocked her. And that was real helpful. Part of that, for me, a lot of my thinking about myself and changing my ego wasn't so much about coming down from on high, but actually becoming part of the human race, meaning I was no worse or less worthy than anybody else. So I just remember leaving that fifth step, and I don't know if I was walking on air, but boy, something was very different. And the difference allowed me to move into the sixth step. So I just want to tell you all, I live in a small town, so I appreciate this phone meeting. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa.
And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa. And Sherry KB, you're up next.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line. And welcome, newcomers. And welcome into the sixth chapter on Into Action. And like what was said, it's not into thinking. It's into action. But I've also been told it's not into stalling. So get going. That's what I was told. So what I'm looking at here is, you know, it says having made our personal inventory. So we've already written down, for me, I already had written down my fourth step. And it's saying, what shall we do about it? And it said that we are trying to get a new attitude, and that's step two, and a new relationship with our Creator, and that's step three, and that we've discovered the obstacles in our path, which is step four. I've learned certain things about my character defects that were trouble for me and troublesome in my life and caused me a lot of heartache, which I didn't realize was at my own mercy. So I'm looking at my weak items in my personal inventory. So I'm looking at my part. And it says, but now they have to be cast out. And it says it requires action on my part, but it doesn't mean I get to cast them out. It just means my action is being willing to sit down with another human being, let them be a witness to when I admit to them and to another human being, and to God, of course, because to me, the person who listens to my fifth step is just a witness for me talking to God. That's all they are. They're a vehicle for me to talk to God and to give them to my higher power. And so that's how I feel about it, too. Whenever I am listening to a fifth step, it's an honor. And it's not to take lightly, and it's also to do it with someone that you feel safe with and that you trust, and hopefully it's your step guide, big book study guide, whatever you want to call us. And it's just that, you know, I know for me, like, I like to read and remind people on page 124, because sometimes there's things that people are afraid to talk about. And I had somebody call me once that said, you know, could I run this by you before I tell my sponsor? And I said, sure. And then she told me, and she was like, God, I feel better. I think now I can tell my sponsor, but I'm still afraid to tell my sponsor. And I suggested she read page 124, which is really great. And I'm not going to go into it right now, but it's a really great page to read if you're holding back on something, because whatever you're holding it back on, it's going to get in your way and will get you face down in the food again. And so I just know that I have to let go of everything in order to get recovered, and this is just the beginning. And again, it's an honor and a privilege to listen to a fifth step. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. So we are starting chapter 6, Into Action. We're on page 72, and we're commenting on the first paragraph. Who would like to comment on that paragraph? We have time for about 3, maybe 4 shares.
Terry A.
Tony Ann A.
Lisa
Terry
from Colorado.
A. Lisa from Colorado.
Tony Ann A.
I got Terry. Okay, and Terry H. Okay, let's see. Did I hear Terry A-H and Terry H?
You did.
Tony Ann. Okay.
Tony Ann A.
And I got yes. Tony Ann A. Okay, so I hope we have time for all of you. Terry A.H., you'll be followed by Tony N.A., and then Lisa. Please go ahead, Terry A.H.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Terry A.H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maine. And this paragraph is such a beautiful, beautiful paragraph, and it's packed jammed. It says, having made our personal inventory, what shall we do about it? We've been trying to get a new attitude, and I love Bill W. because he's always reminding me what he's already said. So if we go back to page 55, at the bottom it says, we can only clear the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourage you to search diligently within yourself, then if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. So here's the greatest promise. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come. And then it says, you know, we get a new relationship with our creator and to discover the obstacles in our path. So this is the whole theme. So why didn't they say to discover the obstacles on our path? It says in our path, because that's where the problem is. It's the spirituality, the inside condition. And, you know, I have an inside condition that breaks away from the spirituality. So it's an inside problem, but it's also an inside solution because that's where God lives. It says we have admitted certain defects and ascertained in a rough way what the trouble is. So if you remember on page 63, it says our troubles we think are basically of our own making. And then it says now these are about to be cast out. So they're setting us up for steps 6 and 7 because that's where we get to cooperate with God. Once we see, I always say, you know, we write the truth in our 4th step. We begin to see the truth. And then in 5, we speak the truth and hear the truth. And it sets us up for steps 6 and 7. And the exact nature of my defects is what's inside. It's the fears that drive the delusion. And that's my problem. That's the exact nature, is the fears that drive my delusion. And I'm so grateful for this process. It's like, if you're not here and you want to be, you know, reach out to your hand and let us help you. Really, it's such a beautiful way of life. So thanks for letting me share. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Terry A.H. Tony N.A., you are up next.
Hi, I'm Tony N.A. from Montclair, New Jersey. Hi, everybody. And I remember the first time that I did my 4th step. I did not follow the method in the big book. I just basically wrote an autobiography, and I wrote down on a piece of paper all of the things that have ever happened to me in my life. And I can distinctly remember getting ready to go do my 5th step and being in the shower sobbing uncontrollably because all I had done was thought about my story. And I was living in this story. And fast forward many years, probably about 14 years after that, long journey, a lot of experimenting in the program and a lot of being in fellowship but not recovering, I come back to a place where I do a 4th step out of the big book with a new sponsor. This sponsor tells me that my story is what keeps me sick and that living in the story makes me a victim. So she did not allow me to repeat the story often. She would listen one time, but if I had to say it more than once, then that was a problem for me that I had to look at my own part. And when I gave my 5th step away, it was a completely different experience than I had had the first time. She did not, as a matter of fact, I was shocked. When I got there, She did not want to hear anything about column 1 and column 2. Or all she wanted to know was column 4. What was my part and what were my defects? And I have to say that that whole philosophy has changed my life. It's no longer about me being the victim or me living in the fear. It's about me living in the solution. It's just, when it talks here about we have a new attitude, my new attitude is looking at what my part is. It doesn't even matter what's happened to me. It doesn't matter what the story is anymore. What matters is, what am I going to do about it? How did I set the ball rolling? And where am I going from here? Do I want the same effect that's happened in the past? Or do I want something new in my life? And today I want something new, because what I had done in the past, it was not working for me. And I no longer cry about my story, or I'm no longer a victim. Today I live in the sunlight of the spirit. It's so beautiful. And I choose today to live in the solution. I live in that chapter, that column 4, and looking at my defects, causes and effects. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Tony H. Lisa C.O., followed by Terry H.
Yeah, it's Lisa S.P. from Colorado.
Oh, S.P., I'm so sorry.
No, thank you. Thanks so much, everybody, for the shares. You know, I keep thinking of the saying, wash, rinse, repeat, wash, rinse, repeat, and this is just part of that process, because when I'm cleaning out that closet, the toxic closet, we just had a basement refinish last year, and it was a horrible basement. It was full of toxicity. What had happened is we had a mouse infestation, and we thought, oh, we've got it this time. We set a bunch of traps, and by the end, we got like about 30, 40 mice, and so we said, well, let's just remodel the basement, totally clear it out, totally get rid of most of the things in our inventory. We had to inventory everything, get rid of most of the things. And the thing is, I don't miss all that crappy old junk that we got out of the basement. I don't even remember it. So that's the whole thing about doing the fifth step, is getting rid of all that discarded mess. And having somebody else witness it gives it so much less power, because when I have a toxic basement and all the mice are down there and making a mess, and we had a lot of food storage, a lot of grain down there, getting all into that, that's just creating a life of its own. But it, as it gets up and out and thrown out, kicked to the curb, then all that stuff, you know, you should see our basement now. It's totally cleaned out. We have, it constantly has to be kept clean. Otherwise, it'll all happen again. And then when somebody witnesses it, God, myself, and another human being, that's when I become different. I become different when I'm seeing that those things no longer have a life of their own. All these mice, they were down there reproducing. They had a total life of their own, but once the dark secret comes up and out, and then, you know, laying down a new foundation in that basement. We had all new tile down there and got it all rewired and, you know, new sheetrock, everything. It's totally different, but it still needs to be cleaned out. And so that's where I'm going to keep coming back and witnessing to, you know, you all and to sponsor, you know, that whole, again, wash, rinse, repeat. I would like to do these steps every year, get it done. More amends come up all the time of things that I have not done in the past, so I'll just keep coming back. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lisa S.P. And Terry H., please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H., a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic anorexic in North Carolina. Very grateful today. Most of my life, I lived in fear and shame, and everything I did in my life up until recovery was based on those two things in my life. And, you know, doing my fourth step and getting all that stuff down was huge for me. You know, it gave me an opportunity to see my character defects, my selfishness, my self-seeking, my fears, you know. And a lot of it wasn't new to me. But it was able to see that. When I did my fifth step, this was the huge shift in my recovery. I was one that ran away, I hid, I isolated, I kept, you know, secrets for 50 years or more. And You know, sharing that with another person was allowing that person to see into me. And that is something that I never wanted to do in my life, because if someone saw into me, you know, it was dangerous for me. And that was my belief, that I was going to get hurt. But I was willing to do something different. You know, I needed to do something different to survive. And so I was willing to go through the process and share my four-step inventory with my sponsor. And I'm very grateful for that, because my sponsor helped me to see patterns in my character defects, because I'm open to changing. I need to change. I need to do things differently, because the way I was doing things, I was killing myself, slowly but surely killing myself. And so I'm very grateful for my sponsor to be able to receive my fifth step, because she was helped me to see those patterns in my character defects. And now today I can work on changing the way I do things, recognizing those character defects a little bit quicker and working on them. And, you know, that was just the beginning. You know, that was just the beginning, that fifth step. I know I spent a couple hours in my master bedroom closet going through my fifth step with my sponsor. And yes, when I came out, when I was done, I did feel relief. But it was only the beginning, because, you know, when things come up, when I'm feeling afraid or selfish or self-seeking, you know, I need to do work. I need to do the work around that. Because, you know, if I don't, I will be right back in the foods and those food behaviors. And so I'm just really grateful for that. You know, my higher power was with me from the minute I was born, and that is my belief. And, you know, he or she or it knew exactly what I went through in my experiences. So that was nothing new to my higher power. But sharing that with another human being was scary, but well worth it. And I am so grateful for that process, and to be able to get all that stuff out. And today it makes it much easier when things come up. And for that, you know, I'm really grateful. Thanks for letting me share our path.
Thank you, Terry H. We have 2 minutes if someone would like to do a quick share. And if we have no takers, then I will take this time. So we've been trying to get a new attitude, a new relationship with our Creator. This is Elaine B. Recovered, grateful, grateful, gratefully recovered in Massachusetts, and so grateful for this call, this line, and this book, these instructions. And to discover obstacles in our path, and our path where? Our path to God. And it was actually in my fifth step that I became unblocked. We do not know when we're going to experience our spiritual awakening that's sufficient to bring about recovery, but the spiritual awakening that I got, as I shared with someone else, my putting my finger on exactly what the trouble was, the weak items in my personal inventory, and sharing those character defects or defenses to someone else. It was there, even though I had it all in black and white, that I saw the pattern. I saw the way that I blocked people that I considered were unsafe, that I blocked, you know, my dad, that I blocked my stepdad, that I blocked that boyfriend, that I blocked that boss. And all of a sudden I realized, my big aha moment, I had been blocking God. Because whether, you know, my character defense of just putting a steel wall between me and others, so that they may exist in this world, but I didn't have to be a part of any of it. Or, you know, I could have that cold steel as my barrier between me and others when I was coming to them, that I would, I would just block them out. I don't need you. Don't need you. Don't need you. Can live without you. Thank you very much. And yet, I couldn't live without God, and I'm so very grateful that that I was allowed to become a compulsive overeater, or I did. I chose to become a compulsive overeater. I didn't choose it. No, I didn't choose it. This is not a choice. This is a disease of no choice. But what it did was it helped me reach out to God in a new way, enough to get to the steps, enough to get to this fifth step, where all of a sudden that I saw that everything that I had was not enough and that I needed a greater power that I had blocked myself from. And this was the beginning of a whole new life for me. And if you're here and you're doing this work, there's a whole new life available for you too. So just can encourage you to keep on coming and keep doing the work. And so I just want to thank everybody who has shared. We're going to transition the meeting now by reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Marie J. to please read A Vision for You. Star one to unmute, Marie. And if Marie's not available, perhaps Terry H. could read that. Okay. Well,
Elaine, I can do that.
Oh, thank you so much, Mel.
I can read our book is next.
Please go ahead, Melanie.
Thank you. Sorry for the mix up there. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.